invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather, to look at your word together. And so we confess our need for you, and we pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, would be at work through your word, that we might understand more of who you are and who you call us to be. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, take a Bible and open to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 16 through 26 today. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul writes these words, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Just hear that phrase again. To keep you from doing the things that you want to do. "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several weeks ago, toward the end of the summer, we had some friends over to our house for dinner. And we had pizza and we had salad. But the real reason that we were there was to cook s'mores. Because I had said, kind of innocently, you know, "Hey, we had s'mores of the night." And one of the guys said, "I want to come to your house for s'mores." And I said, "So shall it be, sir." So he came over, and it was toward the end of the summer. It was a little bit dry, so which was good for what we were doing. But as sometimes happens at the end of the summer, it was kind of one of those microburst events. Like, it may not be raining at your house, but at my house, it's just saturated. Everything's so wet. And so I was driving home from with the pizza, and it was kind of raining. And we had dinner, and I was undeterred in my mission to cook s'mores. The rain stopped, but there was just one problem. What's the problem that you think I had with my s'more party? Yeah, I had to make fire, and the wood was what? Wet. But part of the adventure was, we're going to go out into the wooded areas around my house and gather some small sticks so that we can then build a fire together. And maybe in my hubris, maybe in my arrogance, I thought, this wet wood will not deter me. We will have s'mores. So we took the sticks and we started breaking them up and putting them in there. And I put the newspaper in there, which is kind of my starter. Maybe that's cheating. I don't know, but that's what we did. And, you know, like, the newspaper would burn brightly, but newspaper burns very quickly, friends. It's not long enough to cook your marshmallow for your s'more, right? But I kept trying, and I kept trying, and I kept trying. And probably I looked like Clark Griswold getting the Christmas tree in. You know, a little bit of a crazy look in my eye, like, we will have s'mores tonight. And then a thought occurred to me. Wait a minute. You have some dry wood in the garage. So I went into the garage, and I found some wood that we had used for fireplace the past winter. Brought it out there and kind of cut it up into little pieces, and then I stacked my dry wood on top of the newspaper, and what do you think happened? Dude, within minutes, we were roaring. We were crackling. We were cooking our marshmallows on the fire, and where I once felt like the prophets of Baal trying to get fire when Elijah provoked them, please let this wet wood burn, now we had a fire. Now, here's the thing, that the reason I tell you that story is that I think there is a principle there of how Christian growth happens. Okay? That you and I oftentimes think that if we can just try hard enough and do enough, then we can get the results that we hope for. I think if we just double down on our effort and our ability to go to church more and read the Bible more and give more and fill in the blank, whatever your more is, that if we do this long enough in our own power, in our own strength, then surely good things will happen. It's October the 27th. How many days are we, do you think, from the New Year's? Well, a lot. Any of you still living into your New Year's resolutions? If you raise your hand, we're all going to look at you with disdain, right? But most of us, right, we're like, oh, I thought I would turn the calendar again. I would be a better, newer version of myself this year. And we start out for a while, but then oftentimes that flesh just kind of creeps back in and we're like, why do I even try? Right? And I would submit to you, it's because you're trying to get wet wood to burn. Just in and of your own power and ability, that is not the way it's going to work. And so you need ultimately for God to do something in your heart and your life that you can't do on your own. And here's the thing I want you to think about as it relates to the Christian life is that much of what God calls us to is not to cause the fire to burn in and of our own power or ability, but it is to instead try to surround our heart with kindling and then waiting and watching for the Holy Spirit to bring fire. Right? So think about how you would answer this question this morning. If you get up in the morning and you decide to read the Bible, why would you do such a thing? A lot of you are looking at me somewhat perplexed. Because we're Christians, because we've been told to our whole lives, right? But getting up in the morning, the why behind you reading the Bible really is important. If it is an attempt for you to make the Lord love you more, or to somehow be a better person by reading your Bible more often, then I don't think you're going to get there or stick with it for very long. Right? So the reason that you would get up in the morning and read your Bible is that you know that left to your own devices, you will not live the life that God calls you to. And so what you're doing is trying to put yourself in the places where God's Holy Spirit seems to move and bring life. And so you get up in the morning or in the evening, whenever you might consume the Scriptures, and you do it so that God might do this work in your heart and your life. Can I tell you something that I do when I read the Bible that feels a little Pentecostal to me when I do it? I'm just like, Holy Spirit, make these words on this page. This is not original to me. I think I got it from Karl Barth. Make these words on this page actually your living word for me now. Right? Do something more here than me just reading words on a page, but by your Spirit, bring life to my heart as I read these words. Why in the world would you come to church today? You could have stayed home and streamed it, could you not? Or you could have listened to any preacher in the world. But for some reason, you got up and you came here into this room together. And I would say to you that you're not here. If you are here for this reason, then I'm sorry. I'm going to disappoint you. If you're here so that you can somehow manipulate God into doing what you need or to love you more because you're being more righteous or some sense of I'm doing something that then will merit God's favor, then that's not how it works. That really we're all just here because we're acknowledging how weak and dependent we are upon the Lord and other people. And that I know myself and I don't trust myself apart from God's Spirit and His people that I'll stay on the right path. And so I'm here because I think Scripture teaches that God's pleased to move as His people gather for worship corporately. It's not a declaration of my self-righteousness or how great I am. It's a declaration of how needy I am. And I just want to put myself in the places where God's moving by the power of His Spirit and trust that He's going to bring life in ways that I can't bring to myself. Now, I want to show you this, I think, by the passage. Verse 16, he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." How many of you would like to bear more fruit in your life for Christ? You would like to. However, in your flesh, there is this fight between your flesh and your spirit so that you don't always follow through on the things that you want to do. If you want a fuller explanation of that, go read Romans chapter 7. And it's almost maddening as you're reading it. It's like Paul's talking in circles almost. And he says, the good that I want to do, I don't do. But the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And when you read it, there is this sense of, for most of us, you're like, me too. Like I feel these opposing forces in my heart that I want to do certain things, but I don't always follow through with them. And so Paul is telling us that the reason that is that in our own flesh, in our own power, in our own ability, we just simply can't do it. And the harder that we try and double down on our flesh and our strength and our ability, the more maddening and the more frustrating it's going to be. Because there's these two things, and it's part of because the fact that you and I live in, here's your theology class phrase for the day. But we live in the already but the not yet. That's one of the things they teach you in seminary. What they mean by that is the kingdom of God has already broken into this world through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those of us who believe in Him as our Lord and our Savior, we are, Paul would say, a new creation. But we still live in a fallen world, and we're still not perfect people. And so because of that, because sanctification or being made holy is not finished until we're in the presence of the Lord, we live with this kind of pull inside of us between the flesh and the spirit. And so often we are trying to be good Christian people, quote unquote, and live in the flesh when the reality of it is that that's not possible for us. We need God to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. If you were to ask me on this Reformation Day, it might be ironic, who my favorite saint is, if it's okay for a Baptist pastor to have a favorite saint. My favorite saint right now is Saint Augustine. I'm trying to read as much of what he wrote as I can and what other people are saying about him. And one of the reasons that I like Saint Augustine is that he's really honest about the ways in which he isn't very saintly. If you're like me, sometimes you read Christian literature and you're like, I would like to be that kind of person, but I'm not yet. Or like every day with Jesus is better and it's butterflies and sunshine and rainbows. And you're like, well, that might be somebody's experience, but that's not really my experience. And Augustine's one of those people that just kind of opens his chest and heart and he's like, this is what I'm like, right? And I'm reading a book with a few groups of guys about St. Augustine. It's called On the Road with Augustine. And it's written by, I told the first 9 o'clock service, it's written by a guy named James K.A. Smith. Anybody know what the K.A. stands for? King Arthur. I was somewhat sad when I learned that I didn't do a better job of giving my kids middle names. Anyways, James K.A. Smith, On the Road with Augustine. And the chapter that we talked about this past Wednesday night was about freedom. That our hearts long for freedom. But what is it really that we're looking for when we're looking for freedom? Or why is it frustrating to us? And he does this really insightful thing in part of his discussion about Augustine. And he says, what happens is the things that we desire become passions for us. And those passions then form our habits, what we do. And ultimately, our habits enslave us to whatever it is that we think will satisfy the desires of our hearts. Okay? So passions, habits, enslavement to whatever it is. And he ties it to addiction, and he ties it to AA meetings. Now, if you're here this morning and you are walking through some kind of addiction, or if you love someone who is, then you know how maddening addiction can be, do you not? If you love somebody who is addicted to something, there is a point at which reason fails as you're trying to help them see a different path. Because ultimately, they're not operating according to reason or rational arguments, correct? Something has such mastery over them that the only thing and the only way they get out of that is for a higher power. If you go read the AA material, when they meet, there is this idea of, even if they're not Christian, they have to say, I believe I need a higher power to help me. Because they're to the end of their rope and their ability to set themselves free. And he makes the point that at the root of Christianity, it's that same declaration for us. That we need God, by the power of His Spirit, to be at work in our hearts in ways that we can't do for ourselves. That trying harder is not going to get you out of the ditch. That what you need is somebody to do something for you that you can't in your own power do. And so that's why it's called grace. That's why it is that we need the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and our lives, to help us live or to enable us to live in ways that we can't live apart from Him. And so he says, Paul is making this argument that it's the flesh and the spirit at work in us, and really we can't do it by working harder or trying harder. And if we do, we're just going to find ourselves frustrated, and we're going to have lots of resolutions about reading the Bible and being nice to our children and fill in the blank, right? That aren't going to happen apart from the Holy Spirit's work. So if you are relying in your Christian life on more effort and more flesh, then the bad news that I have for you is that you're never going to see progress. And you may for a while, and you may see like some progress for a season, but ultimately you're going to find yourself back in that rut. And what you need is to walk by the power of the Spirit. So he says, the works of the flesh are evident. And as you read through that list of the fruits of the flesh, it's kind of like all of us mostly, we say, yep, I get that. All of those things look like terrible things to do. They make sense that that's the fruit of the flesh as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is... And as I was reading those, if you grew up in a Baptist church or spent any time in a Baptist church, there was probably parts of you started singing some song about the fruits of the Spirit. Anybody? Like some of you, 3 a.m., I could just wake you up and I could be like, what are the fruits of the Spirit? You say love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Maybe you just spit it out, right? They're so deeply ingrained in us if you grew up around church. But the fruit, it's important to remember, it's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not just what you do in your own power. I have a tomato plant in my backyard. I think Mary planted the tomato plant. And we currently have 3 tomatoes. What color do you think they are? Red's wrong. They're green. They are green, and it is October the 27th. And I am not a farmer, so in my growth group the other night, the other thing I said was, do y'all think these things are ever going to turn red this year? Like, is there a chance that these green, because again, I'm not a farmer, but it's October, I'm feeling like it's past the season of harvesting tomatoes. And they're not quite big enough, because I'm not ready to take them off and then put them in the windowsill and hope they're going to turn. Like, I want them to be a little bit bigger, right? But if I go out there and I just keep watering them and I just stare at those tomatoes, can I make them turn red? No. If I could, I would invite you all over to watch me do it. No, like, I can't make them mature and become the fruits that I want them to become. Or vegetables. That's another dispute you can have after church. It's tomato, a fruit, or a vegetable. But I can't make the growth that I long to see in those tomatoes. The same is true for you in the fruits of the Spirit. And there is a danger that you're going to leave church today and you're going to say, all right, I heard the sermon, I know what the fruits of the Spirit are, and I'm just going to go produce those things. I'm going to go be more loving this week. I'm going to go be more patient this week. I'm going to go strive to be more kind this week. I'm going to show more self-control. I'm going to do fill in the blank. And can I just tell you, if you try to do that, prepare by, before you lay your head on the pillow tonight, that you will fail. Or maybe you'll get most of them. By this time next week, you will fail. Because it's a wrong-headed approach to the Christian life. So what I want you to do instead is to make a commitment to try to walk by the Spirit. And what I mean by walk by the Spirit is I want you to think about doing everything that you can to put kindling around your heart such that God might be pleased to bring fire and to bring fruit in your life. I've told y'all before, be glad you're not a pastor's kid because you get talked to about the sermon all the time. I'm a verbal processor, so I talk about this all week. But I was pulling up, and one of the kids in the car, I was like, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Like, you got to give the Spirit something to work with. Right? Like, just give the Spirit like a little bit of something to work with. And if all we're filling our hearts and our minds with are things of the world and not things of the Lord, then we shouldn't be surprised that there's not a lot of fruit happening in our lives. So simply in your dependence to walk by the power of the Spirit, in your dependence, acknowledge to the Lord and yourself that you can't bear fruit or you can't make fire happen in your own power or strength. And confess to the Lord that you need His power and strength to be at work in you. And then just simply do everything that you can to give the Holy Spirit some kindling around your heart and something to bring fire with. So consume the Bible this week in some way. Listen to it. Read it. However it is that you can get the Holy Scriptures before you and in your heart, just do it. And as you're consuming God's Word, just pray and ask the Lord to make these words effective to your heart and to change you. Don't try to change yourself. Put yourself before the Lord and ask Him to change you. And then make a commitment to gathering with the people of God. It could be in worship on Sunday morning. It could be this week in a small group setting. Like in AA meetings, why don't they just give you the book and say, go home and read this? Why do you have to come back every week? Because there's this acknowledgement that left to your own devices, you're going to go the other way. Like, why do we gather for church weekly? We gather because we acknowledge that we need each other to stay on the path. And so put yourself in the places where the Holy Spirit's working and ask the Lord to bring fruit in your life. And just stop trying harder to be more of what you can't be, because you're going to be like Paul in Romans 7 or here in Galatians 5. The thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do. And as God, by the power of His Spirit, transforms our hearts, here's the thing, He's the one that's glorified and honored in that. Should you ever look at someone like, I'll pick on myself, like, Wayne, what a great Christian guy that is. No, not really. If there's anything good in me, it's a work of God's grace and Spirit at work in me to keep me on the path to bear fruit. He's the one who brings the glory. And the same is true for you and for everybody else. So let's pray that we walk in step with the Spirit this week, that we put ourselves in the places where the Spirit seems to move in His Word and with God's people, and ask for Him to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. And Lord, we confess our need for You to be at work as we see who You are on the pages of Scripture and as we experience You, as we gather with Your people, for You to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. So Lord, we just pray that You would cultivate our hearts and that You would bring about Your fruit in and through us in such a way that we experience the abundant life You would have for us to know, and that others are blessed as You work through us. We pray that in all these things You would be honored and glorified. And we offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen.